Well, hello, hello, guys, and you're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today, on my 5-Minute Friday, I am excited to interview my very own dad. And it's my dad's 80th birthday, and he's an amazing head and neck surgeon here in Los Angeles, California. And I just thought it would be so wonderful for you guys to hear from someone who's motivated me my whole life and given me all the guidelines to being a good person, being a good surgeon, being a good daughter, and a good wife. So say hello to everybody, Dad, and I call my dad Papa. So hi, Papa. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm fine. Thank you.
And my dad's name is Dr. Baldev Devgan. And tell us a little bit about, you trained at the Royal College of Surgeons of Edinburgh, where you became a surgeon. And recently they sent you a birthday card. So tell us a little bit about what that means to train there.
I was trained at Royal College of Surgeons of Edinburgh, which is in Great Britain, or Scotland, I should say. And I did my fellowship in 1967. And this is a very high honor and very high talent. If you Google it on the internet, under Hink Sintas, you'll find out the history of the college. It's a 500-year-old tradition and the oldest and the highest talented body who certifies surgeons and assesses their qualifications. And I'm one of those guys. And I've been at it since 1967.
Yes, and you were after you graduated from the Royal College of Surgeons, then you went to meet and marry my mom, right?
Right. So this all happened. It's a fellowship from the college, actually. And funny thing is, in Edinburgh, when you're a FRCS, Fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons, you're no more called a doctor. You're called a mister, because mister means it's a title which is high honor and goes back to the history, because it was also technical details. They feel high honor to be called mister. So I got the results on April 1, 1967, and that was the turning point in my life, because that's the day I took a flight to Nairobi, Kenya, to meet my wife Manju, who is also an MD. She was an MD then, and met her, and it was love at first sight, and the rest is history. Kay arrived a year after we got married on May 11, 1967. And we are here now today. She's a successful surgeon on her own right, board certified, well-known cosmetic plastics, well, I shouldn't say cosmetic, well-known plastic surgeon, board certified, head of the ear, nose and throat department and head and neck surgery at Huntington Hospital.
That's right. I was a honeymoon baby, apparently. And you and mom met, like a lot of Indian marriages, kind of an arranged meeting, but it was truly love at first sight. I know that my mom is super picky, so she thought you were very handsome, right?
Well, it worked out okay. And I liked her when I saw her. And then we spent a day or two together. It was Nairobi, Kenya. Went to their country home, upcountry. And then before the day was over, I proposed to her. And
that's pretty amazing. Like, in this day and age, men don't even know what they want for dinner, let alone meet somebody and then know by the end of the night that that's the person. But that's kind of what commitment is. And that's, I don't know, I guess we commit early to being a surgeon. We know what the sacrifices are and what the rewards are. And the same thing with, like, finding your partner in life. But you have had 4 children, all of whom turn out to be doctors. And how many grandkids?
We have 12 grandchildren, and all of our 4 kids are MDs. I don't just say doctors, because doctors are a misnomer. It should be an MD, and they're both certified, and Kay is the number one.
That's right, the first and best child.
The best child, yes. She's very talented, and I'm proud of her. And she has 4 children. Who knows what they will do? 2 of them are twins, and they're at Georgetown University. Just joined their sophomores now.
Sophomore year, yes. I don't know if any of my kids will go into medicine. We'll see. But they're all really smart and good at science and hardworking. But that's something I feel that you ingrained in all of us kids growing up, is the importance of sacrificing, working hard, and like persevering, like getting through the struggles. When I wanted to give up on organic chemistry, you made me persevere. When I would come home in residency from UCLA and be so bone tired and exhausted after 38 hours on call, you and Mom would tell me to just, like, that's what it takes if you have to sacrifice to get what you want. And time goes by anyway, so you might as well put in the dues.
Right? Right. Said it right. Correct. You must have dedication, commitment, and find a purpose in life. And like I said, your job should be your avocation. You must have a passion and love for it. Don't just become a doctor because I say so. You must have a inner desire and ambition to do good, and all of our children are doing very well, and they're serving humanity. At the same time, they're successful in life, and they're happy and raising a nice family.
That's so important. I think people today are really fixated on materialism and money and the culture of like getting a job to get money, to get things. But I really try in my practice to not focus on that. Like, I want beautiful outcomes. I want to create art and aesthetic beauty and like really focus on the intellectual and academic side of how we help people and push the boundaries of what we can do without being all about the money.
Yep, you said it right.
Yeah, it's so important to have a philosophy and a culture of your work ethic and know who you are and know why you're doing things. What advice do you have for millennials out there? Like, culture is changing. Like, I think I was an 80s girl, and now the millennials have a very different approach to life. I don't know if you've noticed that, but any advice?
No, do your best. Whatever you're doing, enjoy your job. Whatever you are, a computer scientist, millennial, surgeon, or just a homemaker, it doesn't matter. But enjoy your avocation.
That's right. And then how does it feel to turn 80?
I feel 40 and some years. I have another 20 years to go. Actually, I like to be 150. But I think statistics will tell me 20 more years will be enough for me to survive. And I'm still active and working, running around doing chores. Right now, we're just in the backyard. I was looking after my swimming pool and enjoying the sunshine, beautiful Southern California weather and beautiful sunshine and a wonderful daughter.
Well, they say 50 is the new 30, so 80 is going to be the new 50. And my dad is the best anatomy teacher ever. Like, the anatomy you learned, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago at the Royal College of Surgeons of Edinburgh is like amazing and superior to any anatomy knowledge that I feel I have. So it's so fun as a surgeon to discuss cases and compare notes with another surgeon and really get that great advice.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I think nice to discuss with your colleagues what you plan to do. And self-criticism is, or introspection is, the best deal. And then also talk to your patients day after surgery, find how they're doing, and see if you can help in any way. And just dedication and care to the patient's comfort and well-being is all it matters. Not how much money you make. And if your results are not successful first time, be open and explain and say you may need another revision. And that's life. And be truthful and honest and transparent.
Yes, that's the best practice of medicine, is to be as human as possible and as kind as possible and, you know, really work hard to deliver the great outcomes. So now you guys know where I come from and who raised me and why I do what I do and my siblings as well. And we're so amazed and delighted to have such a great dad who's been like the leader of our family and the force that makes us into good humans. So thank you and happy birthday, Papa. Love you.
Love you. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Love you guys. Stay beautiful.